Good morning. We'll call this meeting of the Education Conference Committee to order. First things first is that I want to thank Commissioner Caselius for being here. And Commissioner, if the department wants to come on down to the table. On April 16th, the Commissioner is nice enough to give us a letter and listing out some concerns that were contained in either the House file or the Senate file on this bill, and proactively reached out to us on that. So with regards to that, Senator Olson and I and the conferees got together and addressed, I think there were 8 items on here. We made sure that we omitted those items from the report that is in front of people right now. On the last one regarding the charter school language, there were not specifics on that. So I think some of the charter language is in there, some of it's not. But we'll get further clarification on what those concerns are and what's going forward. Commissioner, I don't know if you want to have other individuals from the department come down. We're going to start going through the bill, or the, I guess, the draft. We'll go through the draft starting on Article 1, starting with Sections 1 through 4. If Mr. Nauman or someone, I believe most of this is Senate language, if you want to walk through those first couple of sections up until what I would say the first 4 sections.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members. Mr. Chair, is it your pleasure to go through a detailed explanation of each of the sections, or just say where they came from, or we can do this however you'd prefer?
You know, I would say just a high-level summary, and then if there's additional clarifications wanted by the department or the commissioner, we can drill.
Certainly. So, Mr. Chair and members, a fair portion of Article 1 comes from the MDE policy bill that was carried by Senator Wieger in the Senate. Section 1 changes the determination of a pupil's district of residence and sets some criteria for that. Section 2 sets an annual assessment performance for non-public students, and it aligns it to the compulsory instruction ages. This was also from the MDE policy bill. Same with Section 3, requires non-public students to comply with district oversight requirements and submit information to the superintendent of the resident district. So those first 3 sections, Mr. Chair, originated from the Senate side, and originally they came from the MDE policy bill.
Thank you. And Mr. McHenry, and you guys want to come up too? Just any comments about the first 4 sections of the bill?
Mr. Chair, members, Kevin McHenry from the Department of Education. Before this is going on, the one thing I just did want to raise is that we did indicate with the staff that there was a time commitment for the commissioner at 9 a.m. We were under the impression that you were asking for her to give the testimony on this. We could have her do that. We're going to be available here throughout the entire day as moving forward. But as we're going, if we're going section by section, she may not be available here before that 9 a.m. time. So I'm wondering if maybe it might be okay if she could go through her testimony. And we're also going to be available here if the nonpartisan staff is going through the bill, and we can be of assistance in that manner if that is okay with you all.
Sure. Well, Mr. McHenry, are you authorized to sign off on stuff as we go through this and pass this stuff today, or do we need the commissioner here?
Mr. Chair, members, Commissioner Caselius is going to be available throughout the entire day. I am here to speak on her behalf as she goes to her engagement that she needs to be at. Obviously, she's going to be available afterwards, so we're going to be working closely on that. We'll be here at the entire time.
Okay, Mr. Chair,
Commissioner,
if I could speak. Brenda Caselius, Commissioner of Education. I do have some prepared comments on some of the articles. I do have to give a welcome at an event that we have been planning for several months. Then I am more than able to come right back after that to answer questions and to be here available as you walk through the bill. And then I need to leave again, go back to the event, and welcome the governor and introduce him, and then come back. And then I also have to give the closing of the event. This is an event that we've had planned for a very long time with our minority councils around closing of the achievement gap and strategies. And so those are my time commitments at 9, again at 1, and then again at 4:30. But at it's at the Humanities Center, and I'm glad to be going back and forth today to address any concerns.
Well, the department will still be here as we're taking action on the individual sections. And Mr. McHenry, and I'm assuming that there's objections to language that we're adopting we'll know about before we pass individual sections?
Absolutely. We'll be able to give you feedback on those sections. And I'd like to give my testimony now, if it's okay with you, Mr. Chair.
Sure, Commissioner. Go ahead. Proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Olson and Chair Garofalo and the entire committee and members. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you this morning to discuss the conference report, and thanks again for all of your work throughout this session. My staff and I have worked late into the night and early this morning to thoroughly review this conference report in order to provide you with the comprehensive feedback on the provisions it contains. I very much appreciate your efforts to address the concerns that me and my staff have brought forth throughout this session, and also in my most recent letter that you mentioned, Chairman Garofalo, on Monday. As I've stated on many occasions over the past year and a half, as evidenced by our work to enact substantial reforms last year, I remain committed to finding areas of common ground, as does the governor, where we can find agreement. My review of the conference report has identified some remaining concerns, and I'd like to see these addressed today, if possible. Article 1, Sections 4 and 5. We've had great discussions with both Representative Kyle and Senator Stump regarding use of CTE courses to satisfy the new chemistry and physics course requirements. While we all share the same goal that students should be able to use CTE courses to fulfill those requirements, we believe the language could be clearer, and we have brought suggested language we believe all parties could agree to. Section 8. Staff identified a need for a technical fix in this section. On page 7, line 434, after fiscal, the word second should be added. This creates consistency between the application and the request for payment timeframes in subdivision 2 and 3. Also, there could be a tax issue here with reporting the award as income and needing it to issue a 1099. We'd encourage you to speak with the Department of Revenue to clarify the need for a 1099 and how that might be issued. And
Commissioner, just because I see staff frantically writing your testimony down, do you the suggestions you have, are we going to get those in writing as well?
Sure, these are my notes, but I'd be sure to make sure that we have those point by point for you.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner, I believe the language we have here is the language that came from the department. So you're saying that you're disagreeing with the language that the department but there's some more changes that need to be made?
I'll ask Tom to speak to the particulars on this one.
Well, we all know that Tom Melcher is never wrong, so welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the
record. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Tom Melcher with the Department of Education. I think when this language came to the committee, the department originally had a one-year period, and it was changed to 2 years, but it was changed to 2 years for the application piece, but it remained 1 year for the verification. So we just need to move the verification back to 2 years so that the two pieces are consistent.
Thank you, Dr. Melcher. Commissioner, if you want to continue, and might want to stick around here because you never know when we're going to have a question for you.
And then again, just the issue of the 1099, making sure that we address that. Sections 13 and 17. While we have been vocal in our support of increased opportunities to CTE classes in PSEO, we find the addition of private for-profit higher education institutions as new PSEO providers problematic. There has been much research that shows that the harm to a student who enters college program without being ready could have some difficulties. We have no assurance that these programs will be quality programs and that they will have the capacity to properly assess the readiness of a student to enter PSEO. We would be more comfortable with this section if it was limited to currently eligible institutions only. Sections 15 and 26, these provisions allow PSEO providers to advertise on financial grounds to students. I believe students should be making their PSEO choices based on the information shared with them by their school and in consultation with their parents, not based upon an attractive and potentially deceiving advertisement. There's language in House File 2025, Fourth Engrossment, that we feel could be suitable compromise for all parties. Section.
Oh, just one second, Commissioner. Senator Olson.
Could you give us some idea of what that language is, or is it available to us? As we're going through this, we are going to be trying to take some action.
Senator.
And so it would be helpful to know that. It is the, that advertising thing just seems like it is a it's an unusual thing to single out the higher education institutions that they cannot make any reference to the fact that there might be some savings for doing this. And I mean, it's not, you're not taking the right to have a brochure on the subject, but that it, in fact, may include the fact that there is some potential savings to the family. And it just seems like it's the wrong thing for us to be doing in public policy. That's why I'd be interested in what language you have, if it changes the intent of it, or if it is, if it is just something to clarify.
Commissioner, I think what you mean is that the language that we're striking in this bill on sections 15 and 26, that the language would be unstricken, if there is such a word. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe that my staff could work with you on the specifics of that language in House File 2025. They have it here, and I'll be glad to have them work with you on that language.
Okay. And Senator Olson.
And Mr. Chair, Commissioner, so you have new language that would accomplish similar things but do it in a better fashion?
Yes.
Or are you just wanting this eliminated?
Senator Olson, I believe that we have language where we could find compromise on that issue. Section 27, I have spoken with the governor's office on this provision, and I believe that they're continuing to engage in these discussions with you and address all outstanding issues on that concern. Section 29.
Section 27.
27?
That's the military pay.
I think that they're working across agencies to address that issue.
Okay. Just Commissioner, that was language that Representative Pawlowski had brought with Representative Detmer to us. We were under the understanding that had come from Veterans Affairs. If that's not correct, if staff could just let us know later, that's where those changes in the language came from. So, Commissioner, continue.
Chair, I believe that there's multiple interests in this, and so we would just want to make sure that we're aligned with all of the bills that are coming through with that section. Section 29, I have two concerns about this section. One is the purpose and need for it, still needs to be clarified, and also who pays the other 45% that's delineated in there. So I want to be able to just really understand this section a little bit better.
Sure. Commissioner, the loud, outspoken nature of our Senate staff here wishes to offer.
<That's>
I'm kidding. It's a joke. That's why I said it. Mr. Nauman, did you have a quick comment for us on the issue of clarification?
Mr. Chair and members, I apologize.
No. It was. You know me, I'm a shy guy. I prefer to keep
I do, Mr.
That.
Chair. This provision, Section 29, relates to Senator Olson's Senate File 1531, which places a 55% proration on the payments to the higher education institutions for 10th graders enrolled in career and tech for 1 year only. It's a budget balancing endeavor coming through the Senate Finance Committee.
Right. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Nauman, it actually, the higher ed institutions are getting less
right.
than the amount that student is generating for the regular school program. And it primarily affects the opportunity is essentially to take one course as a test, and it's generally the fact that if it's not available, as you may recall, the package that we have removed because we haven't resolved the levy impact, that we wanted to have our secondary schools to be able to continue, not to have to drop off more of their career and tech programs, or possibly reinstate them so that they can deliver this in the schools. And we've shown from the data that came from your department that young people who are taking these at least a year of a program, which is about 200 hours, equivalent of an hour a day, it may not be an hour a day depending on how it's arranged, there's a 97.12 graduation rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And that it says that they're they're staying in school instead of dropping out, and they are taking the other academic classes and that to fulfill their requirements. So we wanted to balance that with when those opportunities don't exist, to be able to take advantage of a post-secondary enrollment option. And that's where the financing of it even is, you know, hopefully it's not going to be a deterrent to the municipal system accepting that. But that's what we want. And you brought up your concern about the proprietary. That only kicks in if the Minsky system refuses. So, you know, it's again, I you know, there may be a way of clarifying too that it's not opening the door to things that are already available to them through their high school in terms of that encouragement. We're not trying to promote that as an option, but maybe a little bit of push to Minsky because of the breadth of programming they have, to be sure that they make that take advantage of that and allow a student that may not have been succeeding in an academic model to be able to get turned on again to the value of some of those academics and seeing how that knowledge is used.
Mr. Nauman,
Senator Olson.
Just 1 second, Commissioner. Mr. Nauman, did you want to add something?
So, Mr. Chair, I just want to be clear that this limit is placed only on 10th graders enrolling in the new career in tech endeavor that's part of the overall package. So it doesn't place any limit on those students that are already eligible under other sections of law in career in tech. Okay. Or, I mean, in PSEO, rather.
And
it's for 1 year.
And it's just for fiscal year 13?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Senator Olson,
Chair,
I'm sorry.
Well, while I'm wound up, I want to go back to that advertising statement. I'm anxious to see your wording of it because Secretary Duncan had made the comment to the fact that he highlighted the tuition savings. So if he can say it, why can't the colleges mention that there can be a tuition savings for if they are in fact taking this? So I hope that we don't get too particular there, because I think that whole effort, as you know, has moved our secondary schools to add a great deal of rigor to their program. And so this is not trying to suggest that colleges are trying to woo all of the high school students away, because I don't think that's the case. But I'm anxious to hear that. But if Secretary Duncan can come and advertise it, but the colleges can't say it, that seems a little strange.
Commissioner Castelius.
Senator Olson, thank you. And I can hear your passion and your voice on CTE, and I share that same passion, as you know. I just want to be clear that we don't have some unintended consequences with the Minsky system, because they did take huge higher ed cuts last year and actually over the past 10 years, and I just wouldn't want it to have an unintended consequence of deterring them from accepting our PSEO students in the future. And so as we think about these new policies, just thinking about those consequences as well and that cost sharing and how that might work out with that other 45% and how that might impact them financially to be able to offer PSEO.
And Ms. Commissioner, before you continue, are the mics on? Can you guys hear everybody?
No.
Can you turn the volume?
Is there a volume button?
I think there's like a volume switch over there. You can probably turn up a little bit.
I'd like to think I was a techie, but...
so do I. I'd like to think I was, too.
I know you challenged me to a Halo game or something. Like that.
There we go. That's better. Is that better now?
Yes.
Good.
Okay.
Perfect.
Great.
All right, so, now, Commissioner, now if you could just start over from the beginning and go. Please continue your testimony, Commissioner.
Okay. So in Section 30, this again is addressing PSEO language, and if there can be agreement and if we can work with you on agreement of what that language is, I don't think that there's a need for a task force. As you know, we've been managing several task forces. It's put quite a burden on the agency in terms of managing these, although the recommendations have come forward have been very good ones, and it has been a good process to engage our public and our stakeholders, and we appreciate that. However, if we can get some agreement on that language, I don't think there's a need for the task force and the provision of Section 30.
Commissioner, Senator Olson would like to...
Mr. Chairman and
Senator
Commissioner,
Olson.
I know you have said, and I appreciate your repeating it again, that you share that concern and Senator Stumps on the career and tech area, but we haven't seen any kinds of suggestions. We have some proposals to move forward because, you get tired of waiting. Especially when you know that things work, trying to make open those doors. Now, this was the task force was a provision that was in the House bill. I was planning on trying to rework. I think the mission is a little bit too global for what I think is actually needed. But you're suggesting you don't think it's needed at all?
Commissioner Casilius.
Senator Olson, I want to assure you that this is an issue, and Senator Stump as well, and others who also care deeply about this issue, and we are actually working on it. I've been working with Larry Polga-Miller, also in higher ed, and also with Minsky Chancellor Rosenstone on provisions around CTE. We think we're going to be bringing a much larger proposal in the future that we'll be working on. We may or may not use a task force type of method, but once you put in language task force, it implies a process and stipends and those kinds of things, and of which we don't have funding in to do that. And so it has become difficult in managing the multiple task forces that we have at the agency and trying to pay mileage and lunch and all of those provisions and things. So we still plan on doing the work. It's just having it legislated, we'll still do it.
Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, you know, we're not trying to drive wedges, but you're obviously supporting the Senate position.
Well done, well played. Commissioner, please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Section 31, while we aren't opposed to sharing this information with the legislature, this report will take a somewhat significant portion of staff time again to assemble. Our federal accountability staff are paid fully with federal dollars, and as you know, the agency is 60-40 federally funded. And those staff and those dollars cannot be used to create a report that is only required under state law. We are working with our accountability staff to determine if there are other ways to provide this information that would be acceptable to you and also under our federal requirements. Section 32, Subdivision 3, I certainly understand the difficulty that Bemidji has experienced in pupil transportation, and I believe that transportation is an issue for all our rural districts. And does put quite a large stress on them. But rather than provide a fix for this one district, I would encourage the committee to explore a structural funding fix overall that addresses the needs of all our districts experiencing similar difficulties. A Subdivision 4, while I appreciate Chair Garofalo funding the additional costs that would be borne by MDE under Representative Miro's digital learning bill, those costs originate from the course requirement mandate, a portion of the bill that MDE and I and the governor do not support. So I wanted to just be able to point that out. Moving on to Article 2, Section 8. I appreciate all the work that's been done on this bill as it's been moving forward. And it's looking to build off the site-governed school statute. Subdivision 1A outlines parameters of what could be contained in an agreement.
Commissioner, can you give us a page just so it's a little bit quicker?
Page 29.
What page are we on?
29. Section 8, Article 2.
Okay.
These decisions should be determined and worked out at the local level rather than under provisions set forth by the state. Subdivision is duplicative and addressed later in the statute. And Subdivision 4A contains language that is vague, stating that a district must seek to establish similar contracts, and schools already can collaborate in this manner without additional language. Section 12, this provision requires charter contracts to include a dispute resolution process between the authorizer and charter school that involves a neutral party. A dispute resolution process could diminish an authorizer's ability to effectively enforce their contract if a school has the ability to invoke a dispute resolution process anytime they are unsatisfied with an authorizer's oversight or intervention decisions. And finally, authorizers and schools could incur significant costs with this process. I also want to point out that I have concerns regarding lengthening an initial approval from 3 to 5 years. Section 13, testimony on this bill centered on the High School for Center Recording Arts and their concern of being identified as a priority or focus school under NCLB waiver. This legislation does not address their concern. MDE has worked with the U.S. Department of Education to satisfy the concerns of HSRA and other credit recovery schools without running afoul of federal accountability. And my staff has met with them extensively to try to assure them of that fact. Section 17, collaboration is again already allowed under the law, and should be locally determined. The main change allows the district to include...
Commissioner, just really quick. Sorry. Senator Olson had a quick question.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, regarding the Section 13, that, you know, I think it was given fairly careful consideration. I'm not sure if that was in your House bill or not, but it certainly had broad bipartisan support in the Senate, and I'm not sure I grasp what you said was the problem with it. The language of the graduation incentives program, that's the participation in it with the charter school, of having them designated as graduation incentives as the charter school in order to be treated in the same way with this data.
Commissioner Castellis.
Senator Olson, Chairman Garofalo. The issue here is around expectations for students and the standards that we set for all students. In my opinion, I believe that all students ought to meet our standards and ought to be held to the same level of accountability for exiting, so that when a diploma means, a diploma means the same thing. However, I believe that the support that we provide to those students ought to be different. And so it's not a lowering of the standard or the expectation or the accountability for the school, but it's around how do we support those students in achieving the standard that we set for everybody and what's expected in terms of what we say a diploma means in Minnesota. And so that's the thinking behind that. Even though they've experienced difficulty, there are students who have experienced difficulty in all of our schools, but yet we still want the same expectations for all our students.
Senator Olson?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I understand that can be difficult to grasp, but when you talk with some of the students that are there that are being tremendously successful in achieving, you know, employability, you talk about career-ready, whatever, and are graduating, it isn't that they aren't gaining a lot of the efforts toward those standards, but they don't function in quite the same way. And for schools to be shut down that are actually saving kids from just being out on the street, if you will, and turning them into some productive citizens, there's got to be a way, and this seemed to be a tool and a way of being able to deal with this that was fairer to what they're able to accomplish in the lives of these students. So I would hope we could have some further discussion of that. I don't know if there's any others that have some concern.
Sure. Senator Bonham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, this was we heard this particular bill in pretty late in the process. It was a Senator Harrington bill, and the students came forward and shared their stories, and everybody on the committee was very inspired by the gains they were making and by the alternative approach that this School of Recording Arts, for example, was using to make sure these kids not only were successful, but were extraordinarily successful in their own talent and endeavors. And so this particular provision accomplished their ability to continue that. So I think the concern that you're hearing from Senator Olson and that I would share is what do you propose?
Well, it sounds like, Commissioner, that the sounds like the department is working with the school, and maybe you're being told the school was telling us that there needed to be legislative action. You were under the impression that the department was addressing this, and maybe that's something we should continue the conversation on. Is that correct, Commissioner?
Yeah, Chairman Garofalo, Senator Bonoff, and Senator Olson. You know, I care about these kids the exact same way that you do, and we want to find a resolution to how we can do this. This particular language and legislation does not impact the outcomes of the NCLB waiver and how this school might or might not be labeled. And so I just want to be clear with that. But I will absolutely have Kevin and others work with you around language and around this legislation, because it doesn't match, I think, the intent of what was being asked directly for to be done.
Senator Olson.
So, Mr. Chairman, and I have to mention, if I'm not mistaken, Senator Chamberlain, who is kind of a tough one to convince of something, was kind of blown away and kind of almost led the charge to honor their request and seeing what they're doing. Am I misinterpreting your position,
Senator Chamberlain?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Casillas. I It just seemed that, as Senator Bonhoeff was saying, that these kids were being, they were stuck in a trap. And the school was just trying to find the best way out of that predicament. But the bureaucratic language and the processes weren't allowing for that. So they're just trying to get through to that, make that work. And that's all we would like to see, is make sure it was working for them. And we don't want to wreck that.
So if you want to proceed with we left off at section 16, 17 is where you had listed out, you were listing some concerns with section 17.
Yep. All right, I'll continue. Thank you, Senator Chamberlain, too. Collaboration is already, section 17, collaboration is already allowed under law and should be locally determined. The main change allows the district to include, for purposes of student assessment and reporting to the state, the academic performance of students attending a collaborative charter school site operating within the geographic boundaries of the district. We believe that this is not consistent with the inherent spirit of the current provisions of the state's charter law and that grants charters complete autonomy. And further discussion, I think, is needed on that provision around charter autonomy. Section 20, paragraph J, this is setting a new precedent that creates a new levy and contains a property tax increase. This could lead to larger levies later and increases for other districts. Section 22, this, and I realize I'm going fast. I apologize that I have to be at the welcome at 9. Section 22, this issue should be addressed in a comprehensive manner and not just one portion of those affected. This law could have an adverse effect on nearly 400 classroom teachers who are currently teaching and another 1,100 with licenses pending. The bigger issue here is the test itself, I believe. And the Board of Teaching should be directed to examine the effectiveness of the MTLE and whether the tool is working to ensure we have the most effective teachers and not just the best test takers. Furthermore, several concerns that have been identified by other parties, including Article 2, Sections 5 and 7, that must be vetted more carefully to determine if we can find comfort in their inclusion. I'm on record as believing that change can happen quickly if it's strategic and collaborative and grounded in research and best practice. But I also believe that we cannot bulldoze change. We must work to bring all voices to the table in order to create a sense of shared responsibility and accountability, as the governor stated in his State of the State address. I encourage you to continue to publicly hear and discuss those additional concerns in order to bring about the greatest degree of consensus. And finally, I'd reiterate my preference that those items that have virtually unanimous and bipartisan support run separately and quickly to have the best chance of getting signed by the governor. It would be troubling and problematic if larger provisions were not, or provisions that we could pass were not enacted, and that could actually benefit our students and minimize disruption for teachers and districts. Again, thank you for your public service on behalf of Minnesotans and for the opportunity to testify here for my concerns today. As always, I remain ready and willing to continue working to resolve our differences in order to benefit our schools and our students. And if your goal is to pass some of the provisions here today and pass a report today, again, I am available, my staff is available, and I'll work out remaining issues throughout the day going back and forth. And please do not hesitate to contact me or my staff, and they'll be here to answer questions in my absence.
Senator
Olson. Mr. Chairman, I lost you when you appeared to move on to something beyond the teacher test. Basic skills test, and I thought you were referring to something relative to it, but apparently not. And where you went after that, I've missed.
Was it Article 2, Sections 5 and 7?
I think she's speaking to Section 22 about the basic skills test, the MTLE.
Then where did you go after that?
Article 2, Sections 5 and 7.
Okay, so you backed up.
There are some other provisions that we just believe maybe should be vetted and more discussion on.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Article 2. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was the Section 7 was the bill that was stripped down of Senator Thompson's bill in terms of the use of for political purposes. the school time. Section 5 was what?
Just the date change. The July
probationary period of just going to July 1st from June 1st. I just want to make one comment on this one-year license issue. You know, if we'd left the bill the way it started, this has been a two-year thing, and, you know, it was changed in conference committee from being a test before teachers started their teacher preparation so that they didn't get down that path, spend all that money, and not able to meet basic skill standards. If we'd left it there, we wouldn't be having all of this trouble. But there was some change. There were some changes made that you didn't like, and so the bill was vetoed last year. Now it came back this year, and it has gone through various machinations, and it was signed by the governor. And then, after all this time, we learned that all of the consequences. Where in the world was everybody? I have said this to some of my superintendents. That you know, particularly the one that has these immersion programs, you know, where were you when it could have been dealt with? But the trouble is that pushing it back into closer to the readiness to the classroom. Are you suggesting that you repeal the thing and just leave things the way they are?
Senator Olson, Chairman Garofalo, I very much appreciate your comments, and we all believe in high standards for teachers. I think that's why it got such great bipartisan support, and we all don't want to see teachers waste money or have teachers in the classroom who are not effective. I think when we were working through the provisions of this bill and the veto and then it being reintroduced, we talked about an appeal process because I did believe that there would be some additional concerns that might come up for certain groups of teachers or other teachers, but that was not acceptable at the time. To create an appeal process. So it did pass with broad bipartisan support. With my understanding, I knew that these issues would come up, and I did bring that to the attention of the authors. I do believe now, though, that it, rather than a certain carve-out for some teachers, we have multiple teachers, and I've been hearing from superintendents, as you have, and I think a one-year waiver would be prudent, not to do away with the law, but to have a one-year waiver from the law so that the Board of Teaching could examine this exam. It is clearly known that this is no longer a basic skills test. This is not the old Praxis test that was given. This is a much more rigorous exam, I believe that the Board of Teaching could look at this exam, look at the cut scores on the exam, look at how many teachers are passing, not passing, examine the cost of this exam to constantly retake it, the feedback that's given to teachers or not given to teachers. I just think that it merits review for the tool that's being used to measure our teachers' effectiveness.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, are you just suggesting that we change the effective date?
Yes, I'm suggesting that
delay it a year.
Delay, yes, ma'am.
Representative Loon.
For everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Commissioner, thank you very much for being here, and we were on the topic of the basic skills, and that was an amendment that I put into the House language, and I would hope that we could continue to work on something. I think, again, some of these consequences perhaps were not brought to light before it was passed, and I do think that the language immersion programs and those teachers that generally are sought from other countries, just because we cannot find the teachers here that are native language speakers in languages like Chinese and others that are a little harder to come by, is a unique circumstance. So whether we address it strictly through this or some other manner with working with the Board of Teaching, I think this is something we're going to have to continue to work with. I wanted to ask you about another issue while we have you here. There was language in both the House and Senate bills with regards to an early childhood, early literacy program, and I understand the department has some concerns about it. It was a grant for $250,000, and so the delete all that we're talking about today does not have the language in it, but I'm wondering what your perspective is, if there would be some area of agreement that we could come to. I think the program itself, from both hearings in the House, and it's my understanding, I won't speak for the Senate, but there was support there, that it is a very good program, one of high quality, which I think is a goal of all of us, but one that engages the parents with the children. It's got a great track record of success. So I'm wondering if there is some support, at least for the program, or finding some way to provide some funds or continue that effort through this legislation.
Commissioner Casillas.
Chairman Groffo, Representative Loon, I want the entire committee to understand our focus and our commitment and priority to early literacy, early learning. This has been something we have championed this past year. It's absolutely essential if we want to close the achievement gap. So, yes, I do support moving forward with any kinds of scholarships, programming, internships. The issue here is around the funding. And trying to find funding. If there were some suggestions for how the chairs would like to find funding and work with the members of this, I think that we would support early literacy initiatives and programs and expansion and anything we can do to get our children earlier will help us close the achievement gap. So, but I think it's the resolving of the funding of it and not going back on the promises we already made last session for scholarships and CAID. So that to me right now is the issue. So I think if that can be worked out, that is acceptable.
Representative Lynn.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner. I very much appreciate that. I'm heartened by those comments. I know, you know, we fought, many of us fought hard to get the money that we could in the budget last year for early childhood. You know, since that time, we've also, with your leadership, gotten the Race to the Top fund. So we do actually have more money than I think any of us hoped we would have for early childhood. So I'm hoping that we can, again, find somewhere in here this little bit of money for, again, this very, I think, a very, very good program that reaches even younger children and engages their parents in preparing those children to be successful in school, which is something we all want to encourage. So,
thank you.
Senator Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Commissioner, I appreciate Representative Loon's statements here because I think the Senate was very much in agreement. And I would just like to defend the use of those particular funds in this direction and quote from your recent memo of some additional concerns that you'd like to encourage districts to focus their spending on any increased school fund dollars on three specific items that were highlighted in the governor's 7-point plan for improving education. And the first one is increasing access to quality early childhood education options. And I think this one is not an institutional-based one. So it is the scholarship actually is one that brings the service into the home mm-hmm. that works with the child. It's a different way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that kind of builds up a wall because we seem to be thinking in terms of one way of delivery. And this one has a proven track record, which is what impresses me, mm-hmm. is that we don't just stop throwing money at things that we don't know whether they work or not and hoping for the best. When we have things that work, that's where we should be investing our money. And this was an option of taking what the legislature had approved, and they have both approved this action, both on the House and Senate side, to use a portion of that to expand a very effective program that has hit enough of a track record so that we're seeing the results that it has. And so, you know, the results-oriented kinds of approaches to doing that is what it would convince me that this was appropriate to do that. And so I would appreciate your rethinking that because it's obvious that some of us would like to bring that back and I don't see why that is endangers any of the scholarship issues that you're talking about. But it certainly does have a proven track record. And that's why I think that it would be important to include that. Senator, but that was in your first list to take out, and so we did not put it in here.
Senator Bonhoff, and then Stump.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if now is the time or not, but I actually had an amendment to that point to reconsider, and I actually did just leave it as a general fund, given that I thought, as I understood it, that if you look at the spreadsheet, there is actually ends up to be some savings based on the way we've done other things in the bill, so there would actually end up being enough on the bottom line that we could offer that grant. And so, Mr. Chair, it's up to you, but when you're going to, or if you're going to entertain amendments, but I do have one drawn up that's very simple that in fact reinstates that program.
Why don't we, we'll wrap up with the commissioner here and
thank
we'll discuss
you.
That later. Senator Stump.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just want to make a comment on the achievement gap and what I think I see happening. And, you know, I totally agree with the early learning investments. And I think that's that has a lot to do how we're going to close that achievement gap. But I think there's a couple of other components besides the early learning investments. I think the other one is I think we need a broad array of programs in our education institutions, our school districts. And that's what I think the last couple years we've tried to look at, is that when you swing too far, let's say one way, you miss students on the other extreme. And so I think the education system in the state has to recognize that not every student, not every child has, we're going to run them down a single lane or a chute and they're going to become educated. And the third component that I think we have gone overboard on is testing. And testing is the easiest approach to testing is to have one standardized test and just run everybody through that. The trouble with that is that not everybody's the same. And I think we have to recognize that an educated person can be wise, can do well in life without having to meet certain levels on these tests. And I don't think we're going to close the achievement gap until we recognize that early learning is essential, mm-hmm. That we need a broad array of programs from the arts all the way over to the technical skills, mm-hmm. and that we have to be flexible enough in our testing that we can grant, if you want to call it diplomas or whatever you want to call that recognition of graduation, that there's some flexibility in that testing. And I just think that we have I think in the bill there's components of that of trying to recognize that, and that's what we want to work with.
Thank you, Senator Stump. Commissioner, just very, I know you have to leave here like in a matter of minutes. Am I correct in saying this is a complete list of concerns with the draft we have up?
Yes, these are my concerns.
Okay. And then just a suggestion regarding the early childhood scholarships, and I will not move this unless you're in favor of this, is that right now the scholarships are set to be $4 million in fiscal year 13, and then we drop to $2 million in 14 and 15. I think it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to take half the scholarships away after fiscal year 13, spending the same amount of money but doing it in a $2 million in fiscal year 13 and then $3 million in 14 and 15 is probably a more stable and productive way for us to ramp up the program. Again, I'm not going to move that change unless you're in favor of it, but I would just ask you to please keep that under advisement and consider it. Instead of going 4-2-2, go 2-3-3. So, any closing comments, Commissioner, or response to Senator Stump, or Senator Olson, or Senator Aboniff?
Well, Senator Stump, I think we're in great agreement. And again, wisdom coming from this table, and I just appreciate everybody's comments and your focus on early learning, your focus on literacy, your focus on having great teachers, and accountability. Those are the things that are going to make a difference for our kids and for our achievement, and that's what we've tried to lay out in our 7-point plan. I thank you for your time today. I'll be available again if you need me in about an hour, so please just let my staff know, and they'll be here in my absence. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. And do you have I took notes, I'm sure lots of people did, but do you have your testimony in writing that Mr. McHenry can provide us?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And we'll be recessed. The committee will be recessing to the call of the chair later, Commissioner, so stay tuned to when we can get back together. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator
Stump. Just a comment. Would it be possible for the members of the conference committee to also get a copy of those suggestions?
And we can dispatch someone to make a copy of that handout in front of you. Is that possible, Mr. McHenry?
Mr. Chair, members, absolutely. We'll get an email out to you all with copies of this.
Do we have a page you can, we'll just, you want to copy it right now so we can have it? We have people who can.
Sure.
Okay, so if we have someone, Rebecca, you want to, great. Okay, so, and maybe what we should do is take a brief recess until we get copies of this to everyone. And then we can move through and start adopting those sections where there's agreement on, Senator. Is that okay with you? Okay. So, members, we'll be take a brief recess to the call of the chair. Don't get lost, but I would imagine 5 or 7 minutes. Recess to the call of the chair. Thank you.
Yeah. Normally, good chairs, committees provide coffee.
Yeah.
Well,
I forgot coffee.
Well.
There, I got a look.
Because we have taken out the section of the
Yeah, no, that's okay.
To file that one with the other one.
We'll be questioning you on it.
Thank you. Sorry, I was late. So,
Thank you.
American trying to golf cars.
Good mood adjustments.
Senator Hand, how you doing?
Well.
Trying to take a long vacation.
Yep, we're going right now.
Within
a half hour will be. Senator Alston, you ready?
So, do we have
the suggested one? You were perfect. What do you mean? This couldn't have been better. All right. Members, we'll reconvene this Education Conference Committee. And again, if we could please have the department come down to the table. And thank you again for making the commissioner available for her testimony. What we've done is we've taken the commissioner's testimony. The department was gracious enough to print that out for us, and we made copies for members to look at. And we're going to go through those sections that are agreed upon now that the department did not raise objections to that were in the initial report. And we will begin in Article 1, Sections 1, 2, and 3. And just a nod or acknowledgement from the department that nothing's changed to be good. So the chair will move adoption of Article 1, Sections 1, 2, and 3. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. Next, the commissioner did highlight 4 and 5 as having some concerns that would merit some consideration later, would be worth future conversations. Sections 6 and 7, and then we'll... Mr. Nauman, on Section 8, the department brought up a concern on page line 34, adding after the word fiscal to add the word second. It's a technical change.
Mr. Chair and members, I think on line 7.34, the department's preference was to say the second fiscal year following, so it would precede the word fiscal.
Okay. And there were no other changes needed to Section 8. Is that correct from the department's perspective? Okay. So the chair will move adoptions of Section 6. Oh, Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, she made some comment about 1099s. I don't know if Mr. Melcher, was there one other, or who is it? Was one other provision relative to this section that...
Welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record. Are our mics off again, or are they on still?
They are.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, or Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have a question about when these grants are then sent to the students, do they become income for purposes of the IRS? And that was the issue she raised. In the case of the other scholarships, those get paid directly to the universities. In the case of this one, it becomes a payment to the individual, and the question was raised as to whether there would be the need to issue a 1099, and that was something that would probably have to be addressed by MMB or the Department of Revenue, but it is an issue that she thought we should be conscious of. Know that that may be a possibility. Some of the extenuating concerns might be that I'm not sure how much money this would be directly to the student, but we've had some brief discussions with others about will that impact their financial aid too. But mainly it's the 1099. Do we have to issue them, and who would be issuing them if it becomes a payment to the student?
Mr. Nauman?
Mr. Chair, I don't have a comment.
Okay. So, but that would certainly be outside the purview of this committee, and it's
correct. And she just wanted us to be conscious of it, and at least have that understanding that may be a necessity.
Okay. With the change to any other questions from members of the committee, with that change to Section 8, then the chair will move approval of Article 1, Sections 6, 7, 8, as amended by the department, 9, 10. 11 and 12. And again, this is consistent with the testimony we took. I'm seeing a nod from the department.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is correct.
All right, the chair will move adoption of that. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. It is adopted. We will hold off on Section 13 pursuant to the commissioner's testimony. Section 14. This appears to be non-controversial. The chair will move Section 14.
Correct.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. 15, the commissioner, again, this will be an item for future discussion. Section 16, this is the agreed-upon language, so all those in favor of Article 1, Section 16, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. We'll now move to sections 18. 17 is actually listed on the commissioner's objections.
Yes.
So we're holding off on 13 and 17 as well as 15. And so I just lost track of what number we're on.
18.
17. What was the last section we approved? 16. Okay.
15.
So. 15. So we are 16. On.
16. We skipped 17.
We skipped 17. So now we're on 18.
Yep.
So it looks like 18 through 26. Excuse me. 18 through 25. The chair will move Article 1, Section 18, through Section 25 of that same article.
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. 26 and 27 have been highlighted by the commissioner. We'll now move to Section 28 on page 18. Excuse me, Section 28 on page 20. The chair will move Article 1, Section 28. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. We will hold off on 29, 30, and 31. We will also hold off on 32. The commissioner cited subdivisions 3 and 4, mm-hmm. but we're going to wait on the appropriations language there. Mm-hmm. Next, we move to Article 2 of the bill. Looks like. Oh, excuse me. Thank you. Senator Hand moves approval of. The revisor's instructions in Section 33, as well as the repealer of Section 34.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Nelman.
You may want to at least hold off on the paragraph A. That also relates to Senate File 1531, the PSEO bill from the Senate. And given that you're holding off on those other sections, you may want to at least hold that one, too, to be consistent.
Okay, so we'll hold off on this. We'll just hold off on all of Section 34,
I'll
then.
Draw my,
So Senator Hand moves approval of Section 33. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. We'll now move to Article 2. I believe Sections 1 through 7 are cool. Excuse me. No, that's not correct. They Article 2, Sections 5 and 7, although they are not in the testimony, the department did highlight Sections 5 and 7.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And with respect to Section 5, and I know that the commissioner did raise that, although I am a little bit perplexed, I guess. What Section 5 is simply doing is changing a date from June to July that is a notification, and it's making it consistent with notification for non-renewal for all the rest of the teachers, and it's just putting the probationary teacher. I am not aware that this has controversy, and I guess if there is controversy, maybe somebody here could talk about it, but I was not aware there was any.
Does the department have any feedback? Because I was under the same impression Senator Hahn was with regards to this section.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think the commissioner just indicated that perhaps there may be others that have concerns about it. If you've not heard from them, I guess she was just highlighting that as would that impact others that may have more more concerns about this than we would.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what. Is there anybody here who wishes to testify to Section 5 of Article 2 in opposition to it? Seeing none, I'm going to adopt Section 5 then.
But thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Hahn. So the chair will move adoption of Article 2, Sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Any discussion on Sections 1 through 6 of Article 2? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Both say nay. Motion prevails. We will hold off on 7 and 8. We're now at Section 9. And we're going to hold off on Section 9 as well. Section 10 and 11. This is a long section, so let's just make sure. Okay, so Representative Erickson moves adoption of, make sure I got my sections right here, 10 and 11 of Article 2. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. We will skip Section 12 as well as... Did we get Section 13 figured out to the
Mr.
Department
Chair,
of
Stormson? Members of the committee, I think the bottom line here, we've been working with the school. I think we've received their concern is about being identified as a priority or a focus school because of graduation rates. That, at least in the very clear sense, that's what I understand. We have had communication with the Department of Education in Washington. We have a meeting with the school and the governor's office tomorrow about this. We think this can be resolved without this language for that school in particular. And we don't think that this language solves their concern. That's the two issues. And so we would like to maybe have you hold off on this. The commissioner indicated she's more than willing to work with them on resolving it, and we think we have some documentation from the U.S. Department of Education that will address this issue without us necessarily. What this does is attempt to label them as a ALC in some ways. Our ALCs, their scores, if they're part of a district, do float up at the district level. If they don't have enough within a cell size, we still do account for them. Her concern is maintaining the accountability, but we're more than happy to try to address the issue of this particular school, and we think we have some way of doing it.
Is there anyone here from the School of Recording Arts?
I am.
Do you want to come down to the table just so we're not yelling? I'm sorry. Or so I never yell, just so you're not yelling. And I just, we don't want to take exhaustive testimony, but you heard from the department. Are you guys in ongoing conversations with the department?
Yes, we are in ongoing conversations.
If you could please identify yourself for the tape.
Excuse me. My name is David Ellis, and I'm the founder of High School for Recording Arts. And we have been talking with the State Department, But I honestly have a great concern with regards to how this is playing out, because I think that there definitely needs to be some legislation that addresses this issue, because it's going to come up again. We dealt with it about a year and a half ago when they went through the race to the top, and I think that the way they're trying to address the ALCs is how I like in hiding the pea under the shell. That you're taking these numbers and you're basically manipulating them like they do with derivatives and financial finagling, and we need to have the protection of some legislation that stops schools that are part of the solution from being caught in the gears.
Understood.
And throwing out. And
so what we'll do then is it sounds like we don't have peace in the valley yet, but there's conversations taking place. So I think I'm going to follow the department's advice, and we're going to hold off on adopting this section, and we'll continue that for either later today after the recess. So thank you very much, sir. Appreciate you being here. Okay, so members, we're going to hold off on Article 2, Sections 12 and 13. Sections next are 14, 15, and 16.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to request that Section 16 not be adopted at this point. I think there is some language in on page 45, paragraph E and 6E, and that language, I think there may be some question that would be useful to hear some more about.
So what we'll do then is we'll move adoption of Article 2, Sections 14 and 15. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. We'll now move to Article 2, Sections 18 and 19. Senator Olson, I think you probably want to move Sections 18 and 19. Is that correct?
Sure.
Senator Olson moves that. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. We're now on to Section... No, we're on 20, but I'm wondering... On paragraph J they did, but not in the other language.
We may have to hold until we have the answer on the levy stuff that we're working on. Right?
Okay, so we'll hold on.
Mr. Chair, members, my understanding of the department's concern was that the commissioner testified that she felt that there was a new precedent established with paragraph J.
Yes.
And that the attributing it to a property tax increase, but there's other stuff. So we'll just hold off on Section 20 for now. Section 21... Senator Olson will move adoption of Article 2, Section 21. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. We'll hold off on Article 2, Section 22. The chair will move adoption of Article 2, Section 23. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify. Senator Stump.
Just curious. Could you just have any staff just mention what the repealers are?
Oh, sure. I can tell them. Section 23 repeals the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're okay with that.
So. Well, as long as it's not a roll call, is that
Mr. Nauman or Mr. Strom or Mr. Crow, if you want, I believe that the repealers there are the community services. Oh, I'm sorry. If we can go to
Mr. Chair and members, the repealers all came from Senator Chamberlain bill, which repealed a lot of obsolete language. The one is for some definitions or some permissive language for the school site mediation boards and ombudspersons, as well as a teacher license definition that was there's no one who fits under that definition anymore, and also the Office of Educational Accountability, and the repeal of the profile language, and a school board duty that's also obsolete that we actually struck in one of the previous sections.
Okay, very good. Any good questions, Senator? Any additional questions?
Written statutes all summer.
good for you, Senator Chamberlain. All those in favor of Article 2, Section 23, excluding the repeal of the Senate. Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Busted aye. Motion prevails. We move on now to Article 3. And my notes, I'm just going to review this, is that all of Article 3 is okay. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay, the chair will move adoption of Article 3. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The article is adopted. So, members, that is the agreed-upon language now. We will, the commissioner is unavailable now. We're going to recess to the call of the chair. Please just stay tuned for announcements. We'll be reconvening. We'll announce the time and location of meeting later. Yeah, we might, out of deference to the Senate, we'll probably be over in the Capitol, if that's okay with Senator Olson.
Sure. It'd be wonderful.
All right. Good work, and thank you again to the department for being available. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
See you later on today. Members, we are recessed for the call of the chair. Thank you. Thank you.